Hello, everyone, and welcome to this first episode of Game for Thought podcast. My name is Max. I'm a GGP student, and today I'm joined with these lovely people.
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Joe. I'm also a GGP student, along with Max and
March. I'm March. I'm also a GGP student. Okay. Yes, yes. And here we have...
Yeah, I'm the animation guy.
Yeah. Animation, boom.
Tomato. Yeah.
First year animation, yeah. And I'm Gust. Or Hust, if you can pronounce it. The
Flemish be like. Okay, so today's episode is going to be about mental health now. What's your experience with the current culture inside of the gaming industry? Do you have any experience in that? Or do you have any like concepts or expectations to meet after your studies? Because I certainly do. Because it's like, okay, not to like hate on the industry, but I've been hearing a lot of negative stuff, especially crunch culture. It's like a staple. And it's low-key kind of like making me second guess and doubt why I'm in this study. Like, do I want to actually be in there? Because I already have a pass in mental health. And I don't know if I want to add that on top of it.
Yeah, because it's an expectation in some places even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think personally don't have a working experience, but I mean, yeah, it's infamously like demanding, right? And very like pressure, a lot of pressure. And even studying it.
It feels like I'm already in it. Like, yeah. What am I doing here? Yeah, like, I might as well go in the industry right now, you know?
But I think game industry is really one of those places where people are more prone to struggle with mental health issues, and that raises a lot of questions. Like, yeah, I think it's both like one of the reasons why people join, and I think also maybe because of the working conditions,
people leave.
Yeah,
there's like a big rate of
struggle
like,
with. Yeah,
I get that. But why you said like it's only more like common in this industry, but I feel like it's almost a little bit everywhere. But I feel like it's very like common and relevant in the gaming industry.
Gaming and entertainment, because they have not only the pressure of the company, but also the audience.
And reputation.
So it's like kind of pressure to deliver on time with quality. And the public asks for like updates and stuff. So you have pressure from not only within the company, but like outside of it as well to deliver.
I feel like it's also like dependent on what you do. Because as like, I think a character artist, it's super competitive and you're always expected to do great or be one of the greatest. And if not, you have to excel to even be there. Yeah, you have to sell yourself as like a number, as like a commodity, so to speak, you know. But I feel like if you do something more niche, like say programming or something procedural-ish, it would be better.
Not really. I think it's worse. I think it's actually developers have it worse. I don't think it's about... Well, I agree with what you said, like, we are being treated as a commodity because we are. We are very like dispensable, like
expensible. Like we're just a number to them.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think it's what March said. One big thing is that companies want to deliver in entertainment industry. Everything is so like fast paced, and it's
you don't keep up, you're gonna be lost and forgotten.
Like the Hunger Games, almost so to speak.
but I was reading the other day an article about how gaming studios and companies really don't have an inside structure to handle mental health issues or, you know, their workers' health and well-being.
To support it.
Yeah, they lack management and really, like, caring. Mm-hmm. It's really an industry where you have technical skills, so you can work, you're going to crunch, you're going to, it's a very hard workplace to endure, but you're not being taken care of.
To me, it sounds kind of like the Japanese work life. I'm not sure if you know that, but it's basically like work. Oh, you have to work till the weekend, so sleep here. And it kind of sounds like that.
Yeah, not to like geek, but it's called Saigyo, the Japanology.
Just the Japanese geek.
And it's like the typical people are called a sarariman. And it's typical, like they work so much and they're expected to just nod yes.
Like you have crunch culture, you're expected to like go to work and deliver and like do more and more, and then you might as well sleep at work, and then you don't go home, and then you forget to eat, and then you're malnourished, and then you have health issues, and then once you get home, you cannot go back to work because it's physically impossible for you to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
But also with what you said is because they really sell the, it's not your work, it's your passion. So you have to give everything you have. It's not work, it's what you want to do, it's your dream, right? So
it's almost like gaslighting in a sense.
In a sense.
It's like it is a period.
But I don't know. I hate this notion of not being treated as a worker, but as an artist, in a sense of you're doing this for because you want this. Yeah, okay. I want to work in this industry, but I also want to be respected, you know.
Also want to have a social life. I want to have good health. I want to have a private and good income. Yes,
because a lot of the time, like these artists or just developers tend to be like paid not in the greatest way, let's be honest, unfortunately, depending on the studio.
I feel
like
with contracts.
I feel like in indie studio, I'm not sure, but I feel like indie studios have it like a little tougher because they don't have the big budget. But and like the same thing is like in bigger industries, like they have so many people to pay that they're also doing the same stuff whilst they could actually afford it, quote unquote.
I do feel like bigger companies can just easy say you're fired. Because they don't have enough people
and
to fill your role.
Might be like, oh shit, we actually have to get someone now to do that.
And that's why layoffs are terrifying.
That's what happened now. Yeah. Nearly 10,000 layoffs. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. But then it makes me wonder, like imagine the person who developed Stardew Valley, I forgot his name. He did it all by himself.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a one-man job, but what toll did it take on him? I actually want to know. Like,
it was over years, so over time, slowly.
Years.
Also, his girlfriend supported him.
Oh,
kudos
really?
To her.
And I think also he like developed a public, like a fan base over the span of the
crowdfunding
thing. Yeah. Oh. So,
but still, it's a one. He did it all by himself, like technically speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't working. He wasn't doing anything. Working, I mean, like he was solely
focused on his game.
On it. I admire that person, really.
Yeah, true. Like, look at him now.
Let's return to that topic. What do you think, though, that it's so common among people that either work in the industry or gamers also?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it so common to be faced with mental health issues or, you know?
Well, it kind of is also a solitary work in a sense because you're creating the assets by yourself, and unless it's like a very well-structured workplace where you get feedback, you walk around and stuff. But that can be one thing because you don't get as much socializing. Or
it depends, though, if you're in office or out of office. Because if you're like a commission artist, like
post-COVID, it's remote.
Yeah, a lot of shit is remote. Oh. Yeah, but like the thing is, I always admired like my aspiration in the gaming industry would be to be a splash artist for like say League of Legends or something, and that is always remote.
Yeah,
I could not imagine how lonely it must be for that person or artist, unless if you're like a very like. Hitoriguchi, it's someone who's very secluded from life, who does not like want to socialize anyway. Like if you're that type of person, then I guess you're fine. But like me, I'm a social butterfly. I need people.
Yeah.
So I would not be able to like survive. I would always have to work, I think, in a public setting almost to be able to not like.
Really?
For me, it's the opposite.
Oh, no.
I can stay home, I'm happy.
I would love the mixed one, but I'm closer to you than.
Yeah. I'm 50-50 though, but I would prefer people around me because it gives me a type of like social anxiety pressure to be like they're watching you
plus if everyone is working in the same room,
you know what I love it because it motivates me. I'm at home, I'm like no one's watching me, I have no pressure, like I need it.
Your bed is right there, your computer is right there, you can just not do the work
the thing is but I have to be sorry for cutting off I have to be surrounded with people I do not know because if I'm like say with March
I'm gonna get distracted.
I will be talking with them all day long. I get distracted really easily.
Real. ADHD gang. Bad news for us, actually, because everything, like the working model is like switching like almost completely to remote, like after post-COVID. It's the most prevalent one.
More or less depends, because some places are introducing more like working from home half of the time.
Hybrid
type of models,
But still, it's remote has been the most popular the later.
I mean, gamers are years. More introverted, so.
But you know, hey, if I were to live in Spain and work remotely and earn well, I ain't complaining. But if I were to live in, say, I don't know, like Belgium or like Netherlands, girl, help me.
It's raining either way. What are you gonna do outside? Stay at home. In Spain, true. It would be worse because there is sun outside.
Oh, but I would not work at home. Okay. I would like get a place and, you know, work there. Anyway, we're striving. And we're
yeah. But really, no, the question, what I meant more was, do people enter, like, no, let's rephrase it, like, are gamers playing games because it's a way for them to, like, escape yes. from something? Yeah. I hear definitely. This argument constantly, and when I was, like, researching, like, a bit, I came across this argument many times that people use this medium to escape and not... But I also, yeah, I'm going to let you guys answer that, but I have my disagreements with it. Like that's why I'm asking.
It depends. Like, for me, it was a way of escapism in a sense, but I feel like it could also be just a way to just enjoy, you know? Because it doesn't always have to be an escapism. It depends on how you are in life, if you're getting, quote unquote, more stable, or you had a good upbringing, you didn't really face mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So I think it really depends on who you are, what your backstory is, and how you are currently dealing with it.
Could also be dependent on the games. There's also social games. Like during COVID, I played video games to socialize because we couldn't go anywhere.
VR chat.
I wish, no. We played Ace Attorney, actually.
Ace Attorney?
Oh, yeah, like role-playing and stuff.
Ah, role-playing.
That was very fun.
But where, in Minecraft, like what?
That too.
Honestly, it's like...
Yes, very much so. But no, I mean, it can be a sense of escapism, sure. Like you run away from this world into a fantasy world or like something imaginative or like... You're just having fun, you're enjoying this, because games are mostly about having fun. So it's like a sort of dopamine from that. Mm-hmm. But it can also have other reasons, like maybe educational games.
Yeah, for me, it's mainly like two reasons. One is because I just don't want to, for example, during the exams, I just want to play the most brain that game possible and just get the completion of the quests. For example, like Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Online is one of those. It's the same thing over and over, but it's like...
The dopamine.
Yeah, it's simple for my brain. But like outside of the exams, I just want to beat people. Like competitive.
Oh, wow. In games, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's clarify this thing.
Yeah, in game.
We are not violent.
It seems like it's a type of therapy. Yeah,
it's self-explanatory. Yeah. No, but really, I like what you said. It's not... Like this argument, I see it a lot. How people play to escape. That's true, but people also read books to escape.
That's
see
also
movies
true.
To escape. Yeah.
Art, anything basically.
Art, yeah, you
entertainment.
Can go meditate to the mountains. That's escapism, you know. So I don't know why people are like targeting games.
Not the Buddhism.
I didn't say anything about Buddhism.
No. I'm like a reference.
games, just because like there's so many games of. That's why, like, instead of art, for example, like art, I think if you can do it, it's cool. But for me, I'm not going to spend the time in it to get good at it. But with games, like in a few days, I can be really
good
at it.
That's the thing. Like, if it's not your passion, nor like your ambition to be like on the top side of art, then you're not going to like find a motivation to do it, you know? But like, say you're a gym rat.
Yeah.
No offense. You're a gym rat. So you're going to do that in a gym instead. Like get bulkier, like cut, whatever terminology you can use. But like March and I, we're very art based, you know, we're GP for a reason, or I would hope so, you know?
Yeah.
So we would then put that energy you put into the gym, into art or in games, you know?
Yeah.
Also, I think games are very accessible in that sense. Art, some people might complain that, oh, I need supplies and I need lessons and
I need this.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, yeah, some people really are like, oh, I'm scared of starting this because I don't know where to start. But the game
wait,
is like...
You mean creating art or just admiring art?
Oh, no, creating.
Yeah, but
creating.
The analogy is like
artist
creating
is a thing.
Games,
yeah,
creating art. Really like creating games, it's a huge privilege.
True,
like,
true.
And very inaccessible. Art. But you can just enjoy cinema.
True.
And it's also like... For me, I compare it to enjoying a good game. Well, it depends on if you're... Yeah, I'm not saying... You can also watch reality shows, right?
Yeah, there's like a bajillion type of ways.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, with games, there's... like, for everyone everything. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. there's something for everyone. With art, you have to be into art to like a specific genre of art.
It's a with still a, pretty with gaming, wide.
It's like you have like educational games, and then you have like RPG games. You have this like this entire big category, and you can like pick one.
Also, I think games are more engaging than art. Like movies, anything else, you're just sitting there watching it. Video games, really? You're like actively playing and pressing buttons and thinking about it.
It depends on what game. Yeah. Like Animal Crossing, do you need to use your brain cells to play that game?
Well, you're doing stuff.
You're like beep boop house build.
You argument. Said that you disagree. What is your take on this?
No, I said my take on it. I think games are more like art. I don't distinguish them that much. I don't think that people... I think... Our generation was that explored games for the first time, like video games, you know, PC games, console games. And there was this notion that all these teenagers, kids that are in front of their computers all the time, that was very anachronistic. And this is the whole argument comes from this stereotype. But for me, playing games is the same as watching a film, reading a book. It's not enough for me to answer this question of why gamers are considered to be struggling with mental health issues more than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are they viewed like that? Because it's Redditors, gamers, a big stereotype.
Living in my mom's basement type of people, you know? Yeah. Like,
well, I live in the attic.
How did this community get this?
Wow. The stigma. But the it's like stigma. The same with art kids. Like, oh, we're depressed, we're emo and everything. Did you ever get
struggling
that?
Struggling art kid.
Oh my God. The amount of times I got compared with that, oh my God.
Yeah, you can't make money with this.
You're not going to get anywhere. But like, the thing is, like, okay, we can use art and games for like, an escapism, but I also wonder, like, is there enough representation to be able to feel like, oh, like, we're not alone in this sense, you know? Like, are there games that actively represent or do an effort to represent mental health? Because I feel like...
Hellblade.
There are.
Yeah, I mean, in my personal opinion, I have yet to encounter, like, a game that fully, like, not per se fully focuses on mental health, but, like...
RPGs. The offense quite taken. A lot of RPGs
no,
do that.
But I'm like, I might not, like, have broadened my horizons enough for this.
Probably
like, yes.
Like this is where story-based games come in very, very well.
I'm not a story-based kind
that's
of girl.
That's probably the reason why you haven't discovered this. Yeah. I can name at least quite a few.
Look, I'm League of Legends rat. I have mental illnesses because of it.
Yes.
I noticed.
Well, you referenced it a lot.
Yeah, true.
I mean, one of the games that it's one of my favorite and I have, oh my God, I need to stop talking about it, but
no, go,
the last
go,
4 years
it.
I'm only... Disco Elysium.
Yes!
This game.
Wait, what?
Disco Elysium.
It's solely focused on mental health issues.
It's so
good. About an alcoholic detective that's trying to escape his past.
Yes.
And he's struggling with depression.
Sounds like my dad. What the fuck?
He is your dad.
Imagine. No, but like, I've never heard that game before.
Really?
Oh my God.
Okay,
sidetracking. Is it on Steam?
It is on Steam.
How much?
It was the best game of 2019.
Around 20.
What's the title again?
Disco Elysium.
You're going to have to send it to me.
It's CRPG. It's more reading. An RPG that you have to read.
Yes, but also it has a mystery basis. So you can walk around, talk with people, discover things, like investigate things.
It's open world.
It's open. Well, kind of. But
never heard of this game before. Yeah. I feel like I am living under a rock like Patrick Starr.
You are, yeah.
Like the closest I've gotten is like Life is Strange, if you know that game.
Yeah, that's something. Cute. That's good. That's something.
I like the first one.
I felt kind of cringe. Is it bad? I don't know why the story was so cliche. I'm sorry.
It is, but it's one of these games that you play. You know it's cringe, but you like it. There was also this game Hellblade, wasn't it called?
Hellblade. I don't know that one. Sadly,
that I have heard
it's
of.
It's a Viking.
Yeah.
It's schizophrenia. Psychosis and schizophrenia.
Remember it now.
It's an amazing game. I haven't played fully. Like, I haven't finished it. I've played scenes of it because a friend had it. And
I watched a walkthrough of Jacksepticeye, but I didn't finish it, actually, because I didn't think he finished the game.
It's very well made. It's her battling through, actually, like, hearing voices and seeing monsters that it's implied that they're not there.
Yeah, I saw,
there.
Like, a forest scene
it's
and
her
everything.
Manifestation of...
Wow.
So...
So well
I
produced.
Think that's what video games can come in very handy with. It's like a way to kind of process your traumas and your mental health issues, but also kind of show it to other people, show it what it's like. Yeah, like
you live in general.
It is difficult, but like if you play through like a game about grief, for example, and you go through the stages with the character, then it can help you to process these emotions for yourself.
That's cinema. I don't know. That's why I don't distinguish them. I feel like it's
kind of different when you're the one pressing the buttons.
The thing is, like, I would just see it as a game. I wouldn't find solace in it, to be honest. I would find solace in like an actual person's experience. Like,
well, that is based like, usually
TLDR, experience. But like my best friend and I are both going through a breakup, and that's helping us both get through it. You know?
Yeah.
But like, well, if that's it was, the like, whole a game. I would be like, it's just a game.
But that's the whole point of what I'm saying. You're going
game.
You're going through it with someone else, which is the character in this case. At least if you're able to like relate to them in that way. Maybe you just
think I could.
A game I wouldn't recommend is, I think it's called Blink or something. It's like a game where if you did blink, time goes on.
Yes, with a fox, right?
Yeah,
You're sailing at the beginning and then your life starts. And then it's like like a wrong life. And then the actual life, like a kid is sick, sick and like dies and everything.
Yeah.
And then you get judged at the end. Yeah, I saw it.
That is really a really cool good one that I would recommend for like mental and stuff, because it's like a twist at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But no spoilers. But yeah.
Yeah, I need to stop spoiling. I am so like spoiler alert, I don't care.
But also, I think as a medium, it gives voice to people and a way to for people to express. That's why a lot of indie developers now make small games more like a way to for them to express. Because they're so immersive and because there's such a community the way it is, people are turning to games to express themselves, and I like that. There was some games that some queer people had made that are about anxiety, I think.
Really? Now what game?
Yeah, I don't remember the title. It's like it's more like a zine, you know?
Okay.
It's like small games that are released.
Oh.
Not with actual mechanics, but like
concept?
Bite-sized games.
Do you know Chillis Art? Like the small little horror games? The Chillis Art games, well, for those who do, it's like the same little concept. He releases small little horror games every like month and a half, 2 months.
Exactly. It's kind of like that. Yeah. But it was about anxiety, and it made you... it was a very nice setting. It made you go through the person's actual thoughts and day and go through it. And because they are so...
Personal
and direct, it makes it... Mm-hmm. I really like this kind of ideas and projects.
It's kind of what I was saying, that you can like
live
through someone else's experience through a game like that.
Yeah, because you are also controlling things.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like you are the person.
Exactly. That's why I distinguish them from films, because there it's like you're watching someone else do that usually.
Yeah, but you still can relate. I mean, people relate to theater and music and cinema for years and years. Games have this sense, though, that you can make the choice. You can make the action, and it makes you feel more...
Responsible for it.
But I think there should be more games that focus on mental health and dig into it more.
That would be nice. There are,
though, a lot of mechanics that are... I don't know if you noticed that games incorporate mechanics that are more like... For example, Darkest Dungeons, you can get a panic attack if you get too scared.
Oh, yeah. It's like the sanity mechanic.
Yeah. I love this kind of mechanic.
Disco Elysium has a lot of those.
That actually induces anxiety in me. I hate it. Like Outlast with the sanity mechanic. Oh, my God.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Help me.
Because this really is the immersion of immersion. Like,
in that type of experience, I can like... live with the character, but if it's like a sob story, I'm like whatever. You know, it's weird.
I get it.
I'm so involved in the game mechanically, I'm like, oh god, my sanity needs to be up, blah blah blah, and then it gives me anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
So
you're involved yourself.
I actually had used that to a prototype of a game that I made last year, and
really?
I did a sanity meter, a horror game, obviously, and even me when I was playing it, I was like.
Imagine paying 20 euros to get anxiety.
Yeah.
Girl, I have it for free. I don't need 20 already, euros.
That's how we live, huh? We pay to get anxiety.
Yeah, exactly. So fitting. Some games are like, mental health is like accepted. You're welcome. Like the Stardew Valley community, they're so wholesome people, like such wholesome people. But go to the Valorant community. Oh my God. Good luck surviving there. You know?
You're talking about the gamers community now.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like okay. With communities, like I feel as a community, like also about like Twitch streamers, which is also something I want to get into because there's Reckless. I don't know if you've heard of his story.
No.
Reckless was a streamer. He's unfortunately no longer with us. And he had been suffering from a lot of depressive episodes. He even had a talk with Dr. K, a somewhat big online psychiatrist who also games and helps other streamers such as Pokimane and Foosley and Reckless. Yeah. And Reckless, his last stream, his audience was basically belittling him, like really bullying him, cyberbullying him. And then he got off. And then that day he decided to unfortunately end it, mm-hmm. so to speak. And it was a big, big shock because they did not see it coming. Yet his chat was like kind of causing or like poking fun at it. Like, oh, you're depressed. Like, imagine being depressed, blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards they were like, oh, but we didn't mean it, blah, blah, blah. Girl, shut up.
That's very known though for the, that's stereotypical, but unfortunately true for gamers, for the communities.
Mm.
That's another thing. People are not vulnerable enough. Like, it's very
but there's
hard.
Not a support system to back them up, I feel.
Exactly. That's why I say, what do you think, like, materially speaking, like, in actions, what could be done to, like, help either gamers or gamers, either people that struggle with mental health issues or mm-hmm. also improve working conditions
mm-hmm.
to take into account these problems? Because we are talking all this time about crunch culture and, you know, people are feeling, like, so pressured and
anxious, depressed because of it. Yeah, but like the thing is, that's why I'm referencing Dr. K a lot.
Nothing is being done. People are investing in technical skills and talents, mm-hmm. but they are not investing in management or, you know,
support system,
resources,
upkeep, and everything.
It's crazy, and I do think this is how will say it patriarchy.
Patriarchy,
because it's mostly like crunch your way through it, you know, bite through mm-hmm. it. This is a tough industry, you have to make it.
The thing is, I'm like referencing Dr. K a lot, but that's because he is one of many, I think, support systems. He's an online psychiatrist. He does talks with streamers, blah, 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 and humanizes them in a way for their viewers. Because again, like chatters and like viewers have like this parasocial relationship. Oh, they have nothing wrong. Their life looks so good online. Again, online is not what it actually is. Mm-hmm. And that his platform is a platform for people that don't feel safe to like
speak up yeah.
in a safe space, talk with him as well, like have chats. And you learn so much. I highly recommend him. I've learned so much about mental health in general because of him. Like he is trying to create a platform, a support system for gamers as well as streamers, as well as mm-hmm. people in the industry.
For the I think the reason why like audiences and stuff tend to be more aggressive online is because, you know, you're behind a screen, you don't see the other person's
anonymity.
Yeah. Anonymity, same for violent gaming, mm-hmm. specifically shooter games.
It's what he said, right? It's an outlet.
Yeah.
That's why
yeah.
people are being, you know, bullies and trolls. It's
they don't. Yeah.
It's an outlet for them.
They don't realize the impact of their words and actions. Like, no, just.
I think they do. Yeah. Sorry,
I feel like a lot of people.
I feel like people are not that big of a victim, you know, of circumstances.
But
I think they do have knowledge.
Do you like a lot of viewers are like 14, 15 year olds, well into their puberty. Do you really think that they or like most of them realize how impactful their words
yeah.
are?
I don't think they are fully conscious of like their actions. But why would you bully someone if you didn't, if you weren't sure that you are causing him harm?
Mm. Like also hate comments. Like I don't get it. Like
exactly.
spreading like hate.
You
if you don't like it, scroll. Click on the next yeah. streamer's page.
You can't be a homophobe and be unconscious about it. You know what I mean? Game industry is mostly male dominated.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's getting better. I'm not gonna say that women don't have a place in it, but what it means is not like, because I don't want to hear like, oh, but there are women getting employed. Yes, they are, but.
It took us long
enough. What about femininity and traits that are considered more feminine? They're not at all existent and prevalent, right. Like caring.
You mean like
being vulnerable,
like in games, or like as main audience, or just everything?
Both. Yeah. Alan Wake 2. They had. I love that game, by the way. They put a black woman as the main protagonist. Well, one of the two. The other one is Alan Wake. And in Alan Wake 1, it used to be only Alan. So they changed it and they put a black woman.
The outrage it got. It was insane.
It was crazy. Like, oh my God, chill. Like,
it's just a woman.
Yeah, and it was actually so refreshing. I played it and I was like, when was the last time I played a game this good that actually has a black woman as a protagonist and gives us her view? It's rare.
The thing is, it would... All the games in the past were like, oh, white, like a white man, like Joel and Last of Us. Okay, Last of Us, great game. I'm not hating on it. But like, every game in back in the day was like, a man. Okay, like, whatever. But it doesn't feel realistic in a sense. Because in the world, there are billions of people, all different ethnicities.
It's really tied closely tied to mental health, you know, to feel safe in a world.
If you're in a marginalized group.
Yeah. If you don't feel represented.
Or taken seriously, you know.
I think that's the same for like male as well. For example, I want to usually play a guy in a video game because I can relate to it. But then if you know the industry is mainly guys play video games, then I do think it's normal the industry's focus on the bigger portion of the audience.
That, and they also kind of don't know how to represent other things. For example, I know that like when... games would just like introduce a woman just for diversity, women would still relate more to the guy because he had personality and character traits. Meanwhile, because the woman was
are
just
very superficially
there.
Made. Yes, like in fighting games, like they're
baby. Yeah. Movies, yeah.
Women in games, like the character, I mean, especially in fighting games, like, I don't know, like look at Tekken or Street Fighter, they're so sexualized. And then the guys have like the backstory of like Harry Potter, like, okay, calm down. But like...
But what you said is I'm queer. I can relate and identify as, you know, I can relate to a guy when I'm playing games. I can relate to a woman or anything. I think you are not relating or able to relate to feminine characters because you're not, you didn't learn to be in touch with this kind of emotions and traits. That's what I'm saying. We are not, especially in games, boys and men make up the majority of the playing community. So they make the stereotypical, you know, male characters. They don't diverge from that. And you're not given a chance to explore other concepts. And
like the thing is...
And women are not so common in designer positions,
the
right?
The thing to me, it's the opposite. I'm a guy. I feel like, did you grow up with like a lot of male friends?
Yeah.
That's why you feel most comfortable. Because I grew up with a lot of... Women in my household, I have three sisters and a mother, obviously, and my friends were almost all...
You're gay.
Girl, true.
That's why.
But, like, I always pick the female characters because I feel most at ease because I grew up with it and I'm used to it. And also probably because I'm gay, anyway.
Yeah, isn't that the same way with, like, the reason, like, some creators, you know, on female characters kind of delete the argument when it goes up?
Yeah.
Isn't it the same? They're like, ooh,
maybe.
Women.
I actually don't know.
For the last question... I would like to know, like, your ideas on how do you think we could make games that affect or, you know, shed some light on these issues or help people or, you know, represent more these issues,
this aspect. Again? I zoned out. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God.
I just spaced out.
How do you think, like, we could make games, in what ways we could make games that represent this type of issues and that shed some light on this stuff and empower people or, you know, like...
Give money to indie studios?
Money, yeah. The thing is, like, also...
Give money to indie studios.
Because they are usually the ones with more creative liberties.
Yeah,
and also more creative game.
And also, like, I was thinking maybe you could, like, include more characters, but, like, if we... specifically announce, oh, I'm character blah 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 with this blah 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 and illness, it's like it seems forced and very impersonal. It's like I feel like it's a fine line between coming over as forced and genuine and actually like representative, you know. if it can be hinted, include, like with story games, which is easier to deal with
story
the
games,
context clues and everything.
Simple, because there you can just tell the story about that. But for example, you guys play mostly shooters. How would you implement that into a shooter game?
Characters.
Oh God, please.
You know, I actually never saw. I don't think I've seen a character with some type of disability that be physical.
When it comes to people with disabilities, I have a friend who has
prosthetic.
Yeah.
He's very, very active, right? With climbing.
Oh, that's cool.
Exploring.
Love that for him.
Yeah, actually, I admire that person for that. It's very active, more active than me. So I think that people like that would like to see
some inclusivity.
Inclusivity, like, and representation.
Amputees.
That, yeah, you know what? I'm able to do that stuff. So I could.
Or like
be represented that way.
It could also be nice, like in Hellgate with schizophrenia, why not make it like into a kind of a superpower? Like, it's not all bad. But okay, it might be misconstrued if it isn't executed in a good way.
Yeah.
But I feel like mental illnesses don't always have to be a burden on a person. Like, I have ADHD and I can hyperfocus to the max if I'm really interested. But it's also like, oh, you have ADHD, you must be hyperactive. Like, why? Okay. Yeah. But if you give a character ADHD, you could like make him some type of
a game
hyper.
About ADHD would be actually
kind of
good.
Awesome.
Yeah. Hellblade really went to that extent, and I think I need to play the whole deal because it's a very powerful game. Mm-hmm. And it's not saying that psychosis is good, you know. It's not saying that. Mm-hmm. It's just putting some emotion into it, and I really like when games do that. Mm-hmm.
What about, like, we circle back to now, like, us, because we're students, right? And we're expected to be working within the industry, hopefully sometime like 2 or 3 years.
Hopefully.
What can we like do to prepare ourselves, you think? Or what can we do to like potentially alter the industry and like fight for a better future for us?
Speak up.
Speak up about it.
Yeah.
That's exactly like one of the things. Also making games and making the problem known.
Yeah, because I think that's an issue with a lot of places and people where they just take what is given to them. Not really complaining about like it not being equal or like, you know, crunch culture, and they're like, oh, you need to do this extra thing just because, and you're like, okay, and then you keep doing that and then you're already in the thing and, you know, difficult to get out of that.
I feel like for example, if I would want to change like the way the industry go, I would like start my own company and make sure we don't make the same mistake. And then see if maybe like other companies will adapt to it. Because I feel like from an employer standpoint, it's probably like the owner of the company might just be like, HR, fix it.
I like to be active like in communities and do stuff. Even politically sometimes. I like this aspect because I like to be very direct with problems. It's not about like solving all problems at once, right?
Yeah, I get it.
There's always going to be a new problem, new circumstances, new contexts. It's about, okay, what do we have now? This. Okay, how do we deal with this? And for me, I would like to be engaged like personally. For example, here at school, we could actually do something and help, you know, start conversations or, you know, something about crunch culture, for example, which is taking a toll on our mental health in general. It is a big problem. Mm-hmm. And we are actually facing this. Like, you know, we are about to start working in this industry. So how are we involved and how do we face this? So for me, it would be active engagement. Maybe, I don't know, like, what you said also would be helpful, like starting your own studio and like trying out things and helping out and trying to see what works and what not. And saying, okay, you know what, I'll do this differently. This could also like work. Building other models and other examples.
It's like putting yourself out there, being active, as you said.
Yeah. That so I always prefer that.
I feel like a lot of people don't dare to prioritize their own like mental state in the industry because they're like, oh, I'm going to get fired.
Definitely.
Yeah. Especially like stress and anxiety takes a toll on everyone that works in this industry.
Unfortunately.
It needs to be addressed in better ways.
What do you guys do to like fight it? Well, not per se fight it, but like prioritize your own mental health when you're feeling like you're starting to succumb? So like the studies, like what do you do as like a way out for like a little minute?
Socialize. Yeah, meet up with friends. I think it's pretty useful to like be able to relate to other people. Yeah.
Train all day.
Gym rats. I mean, low-key exercise is really good.
That's true.
Yeah, very good. I'm quote-unquote like shitting on it.
This is also one of my ways really of good. Doing. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Usually by the time I'm home, I'm like, hey, I'm actually good.
Serotonin.
Feeling much better.
Yeah. Dopamine.
That's good. Physical exercise.
It's really good for the mental. Like that's why, oh, go for a walk. It sounds stupid, but your brain is like, ooh,
walk. Fresh air, you walk around, you exercise.
It's actually really good.
Yeah.
I think I also like running or walking or going to the gym.
Just anything.
Yeah.
Like
not lately, but I really enjoy physical activity. But then I would say socializing and maybe, you know, simple things like cooking for yourself or some friends.
Treat yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Like do something. It's like a little treat of the day.
It depends on what you get your energy from. Like exercise, being by yourself,
like
reading
a
book maybe.
For example. I sing.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Full out like belting in my room.
Yes. Poor neighbors.
Look, I've been told I can sing at least, you know.
Lucky
good.
Neighbors.
My mom is like,
like
damn,
neighbors,
but
I
like, okay,
it.
Not to toot my own horn. Anyway, that's a good kind of wrap.
Yeah, it is.
Point
it
to wrap
was,
up
it
on.
Was really
we
nice.
Had a very interesting conversation, went everywhere. But I feel like, yeah, it's a good ending point.
It's good. We had a lot of points of interest.
Yeah.
A couple of notes for later.
Exactly. So yeah, I'll end it off.
Okay. It's been lovely. Lovely chatting with everyone.
Thank you so much for listening, by the
way.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much for our first episode and joining in. And next month, we will be back with another episode. The topic
will be a surprise. Yes.
Because we have still yet to discuss. Thank you so much for listening and see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I do have to be honest, I like the lighting. And like exercise yesterday. I don't have this good lighting at home.